Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
On today's podcast, Adam Richard returns for our final Mission Impossible episode as we share our hot takes on Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. My name is Justin Hamilton, and my fate is written. Shall I write yours too on Big Squid? Welcome to the podcast. It's fantastic to have your company today. This episode was recorded straight after we walked out of the latest Mission Impossible film, so it will be slightly different to the normal Mission Impossible episodes. I won't tell you how this is all going to play out, but we have a little announcement in the podcast, so I'll swing by at the end and share a little bit more on how the future of this series will play out. We've had such great responses to this that we thought we should do more. So anyway, I don't want to preempt what Adam and I talk about, but you will hear it soon. For now, we catch up with Ethan Hunt and his IMF team as they must track down a terrifying new weapon that threatens all of humanity if it falls into the wrong hands. Confronted by this mysterious new enemy, Ethan is forced to consider that nothing can matter more than the mission, not even the lives of those he cares about most. Let's enter the world of Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Your days of fighting for the so-called greater good are over. This is our chance to control the truth, the concepts of right and wrong for everyone for centuries to come. You're fighting to save an ideal that doesn't exist. Never did. You need to pick a side.
Adam and I have just seen Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. And we have literally not said anything about the movie that can be recorded on the way home, apart from making that music noise.
I made that music noise a lot.
And we haven't even said what we thought of it.
No.
And so I will open the floor to you.
Oh, to me?
Yes.
What a piece of shit. So disappointed after waiting so long for...
I've never been angry.
The only thing, it's mildly worse than the Mountains of Madness. What was it? The multiverse of, what was the movie I hated?
Dr. Boring and Dr. all Boring the places that were shit house.
Yeah, and the pizza ball world.
Yeah.
No, I fucking loved it. Oh, I swore. I didn't even mean to swear right then.
Yeah. Look, I'm just going to let you know, there's just going to be spoilers. So if you haven't seen it, because it's just a bit too hard to talk about it otherwise. So
there won't be any spoilers for the second one because we haven't seen it.
We haven't seen it.
Because it's part one.
Exactly. But it's just hard to talk about it otherwise. So if you haven't seen the movie and you don't want anything spoiled, please go and see the movie. The podcast isn't going anywhere, and then you can come back and you can join us then.
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning is the movie, in case you thought this was somehow a...
Right. One of my weird deep dives on Australian culture. No, this is all... This is Mission Impossible. Oh, and we have something to share with you at the end of this podcast. So this will be a little bit different to how we've been doing the Mission Impossibles. This is just like a first take. This is.
We tried to take notes during the film, but many people around us needed to go to the toilet.
Yes. Oh, my Lord. How many... Like, have... You know what? I know that this has got nothing to do with Mission Impossible, but people's bladders aren't the same, are they?
No, and also people drink alcohol. I think people were going out for a second drink.
Oh, yes.
As well.
Yes.
During the exposition scene. Because they'd gone, oh, yeah, this is the exposition, go to the bar scene.
Yeah.
And when a film's that long, I feel like... Like, I know they don't like it at the cinemas because they can fit in more screenings, but I'd love an intermission.
Oh, yeah, old school. Yeah. There was one in 2001.
Yeah.
You know, go out, get yourself some more snacks.
Also, maybe an overture. Like, sometimes films would have an overture in the old days. Like, I don't know if you've seen Star Trek, the motion picture, the first one.
Long time ago.
Robert Wise directed film. But just like the opening of West Side Story and the opening of... Sound of Music, which he also directed. There's a long bit of music that goes for ages.
Yeah.
Like an overture that go, and it's just black screen.
Yeah.
It's just like lots of music.
Yeah.
Giving you time to find your seat and sit down.
Yep.
But they don't do that anymore because they're chock full of ads.
Yeah, that's it. Val Morgan's
and still got... people are late.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Leah, there were a lot of people late in this one. So, essentially, this is, in the latest adventure, an all-powerful AI system known as the Entity has gone rogue. And two interlocking keys, physical keys, are the only possible way to control it. And governments across the world are aiming to seize its power. Guess what? Ethan Hunt, not down with any of it.
No.
He's going rogue.
Yeah. Because he doesn't think anyone should have this.
So I did like in this film that they acknowledged that he's always
going rogue.
Here he goes. Like just
this is what he does.
This is what he does, and I found that to be very funny. What were the standouts for you?
Had I missed this in the ethos, or is this new information that everyone in the Impossible Mission Force is a criminal?
Yes. Now, I felt like that was some new information as well. We've been watching these films. I have no idea of this. This feels like a little bit of... Ever since, what was it, Rogue Nation? Yeah. And we were putting a little bit of mystery back into the idea of Ethan Hunt. And this actually adds a layer of mystery not only to Ethan, but to the rest of the crew, that they were all crims at some point.
Yeah, and that they were given the choice.
Yes.
Because which is the whole, your mission, should you choose to accept it.
Yes.
So because they're all criminals. And it's like, well, if you don't accept the mission, you might go back to jail.
Right. And it's, look, to be honest, to have something retroactively added to the mythos, I quite like it.
Yeah. But I'm like, was that something in the TV show that they've never used in the films? Was that something?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know the TV show ethos. But I mean... It ran for several seasons and it was just a adventure of the week kind of thing. Like, it didn't continue on the way these films kind of have. But yeah, it was. I kept expecting old mate from the last two films to turn up. I'm like, when's the other shoe going to drop and when's he going to be behind it?
Oh, the head of the syndicate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Solomon Lane.
Solomon
Lane. Yeah. I don't know why. I just thought, are they gonna reveal? And no
reveal. No. That was good. Interesting start with the submarine underwater. As you said, I think you thought you were whispering, but I feel like the people in front of us turned around. You said too soon, meaning the Titanic visitors. Anyway. It was the first thing I thought of as well. Like, you were not alone with that thought. I was a bit like, oh, geez.
That's probably what everyone turned around.
Yeah, that's good. And then it goes straight from that to Ethan Hunt ordering Uber Eats.
Yes.
And that turns out where he gets this new mission and he goes off to save...
In the Uber Eats bag. Yes. In the insulated heat bag.
Yeah.
Which they never leave behind.
They never leave behind. So there were heaps of things to like about this. Like lots of, you know, of course it's got heaps of action.
Yes.
It's got lots of gobbledygook discussion.
Yeah.
It's a lot of Adam and I were saying beforehand, if we ever got to interview Tom Cruise, he's so sincere with saying stuff intense. That doesn't mean anything when in the real world. It would be fun to get him to say, you know, if we don't get this butter and eggs and flour, we are not going to make these pancakes, you know. I feel like he could deliver it with the same timbre.
He would kind of whisper it urgently.
Oh, yes.
If we don't get the butter and the eggs and the flour, we're not going to have any pancakes.
Yeah, great. With a little jaw
and point
flex.
The whole time.
Yes, yes.
Butter and the eggs. I'm pointing.
He is pointing. So everyone was great in it, as always. Mm. You know, Rebecca Ferguson, Simon Pegg, Ving Rhames, Vanessa Kirby coming back, Pom Clementeef.
I feel like maybe Christian McQuarrie listened to our podcast.
I think he did.
In the future.
Yes.
When he was making the film and heard me go, is she meant to be related to Vanessa Redgrave's character from the first film?
Oh, yes.
And I feel like Henry Zerny really like made sure we knew she was the daughter.
Yes.
Of Max.
Yes. And that was said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he was talking about like, oh, I remember when you were a little girl and, you know, she's like, oh, Paris, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the reason we kind of let things happen with your family. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I reckon that's totally meant to be. Because, you know, when he meets her on the train.
Yes.
On the way to Paris, he's like, hello, Max. And she's like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. There was something interesting about this movie where it felt like it was playing some of the old hits.
Yeah. I think McQuarrie has said that this was going to be like a flashback to all your favourite bits of Mission Impossible.
Oh, I didn't know that. It definitely felt like that. Big Ear.
Well, Henry Cerny just alone, just him coming back into it. Like, oh, we haven't seen him since the first one. They replaced him with Anthony Hopkins and then a series of increasingly incompetent but, you know, amazing actors.
Yes. Yeah, he was really good. He's always great. At the start, we got a little bit of Mark Gatiss.
Gatiss.
Which was great. I enjoyed that. And Indira Varma as well.
I love her.
And Rob Delaney. So that was all funny.
It's one of those scenes you're like, clearly filmed in London with British people doing American accents because they're not going to be in this film much longer than this.
Yep, this is it. We are going to use them to up the stakes by murdering everybody.
And Cary Elwes, of all people.
Yeah.
Like, that was out of the blue.
I know. I haven't seen him in a long time. And I keep... every time I see him, that poor guy could be in anything, and I still think, my Wesley will come for me.
Well, there was kind of a bit of my Wesley will come for me on the train, so maybe that was a deliberate choice.
Sure.
For McQuarrie going, I'm going to make people remember my Wesley will come for me.
Yeah.
So that when we're in the high stakes on the train going, where is he?
Yeah.
You're reminded because you see Wesley again.
Yeah, exactly. So I had some minor quibbles with this one, and maybe this is more the interesting thing to get into is the AI was a little bit up there with nanotechnology.
Oh, the entity.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's nothing. Like it's lots of, like, don't get me wrong, they do a good job of you know, giving it a nightclub scene,
and it's quite menacing. It keeps making that wah, wah noise.
Yeah.
But how did you make that noise over the music?
It's so funny, isn't it? But it is kind of a bit the same problem, which is not that it, like, obviously the stakes are high, and they do kind of have them play out like this. Especially, I thought a bit that was actually quite effective was when it mimics Simon Pegg's voice.
Oh, yeah.
And has Ethan running in all the wrong directions.
Yeah.
That was kind of great.
That was amazing. Also, the fact that they can't trust any of their technology is great. One thing they didn't, like, I kind of got it from the outset, But they didn't kind of mention, so you know how it's sitting in the submarine at the bottom of the ocean.
Yes.
And it's kind of like...
Oh, yeah. So the submarine that gets blown up at the start of the movie houses
the AI. That we later find on the Americans have put in there to make it blow itself up.
Yeah.
Well, not to make the submarine blow itself up. Like, that was the AI's choice.
Yeah.
But the AI has decided to live down there now.
Yeah. Where nobody can get to it.
Yeah. So, they never kind of explicitly said it, unless it was the bit where I went to the toilet. But the reason that, you know, it can survive in the submarine is because those submarines are nuclear powered.
Yes.
And they can stay underwater for, like... half a century without needing to recharge.
Yeah.
Like, they're just constantly...
generating going. Power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they never kind of mentioned that. So, it's just like, well, to the layperson, maybe you think, why hasn't it just turned itself off at some point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Why is this computer still got power down there under the ocean?
Because it managed to... have the missiles come back at it at exactly the right point that didn't knock out its power. It just knocked it out.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever.
Yeah. It's an AI. There. It's very clever.
It's very good.
I love it if this was actually a crossover of Terminator. Like, in the next film, we find out that this is Skynet. And
oh, yeah. Fantastic. Well, feels like that's what Tom Cruise would be up for fighting. But we discover that that Ethan was a crim in a past life.
Yeah.
And he had a mentor and a man called... Gabriel, mm-hmm. who is the kind of the physical face of the AI in this film, and Ethan's adversary, who's aiming to use the entity as an all-powerful AI system to rule the world, played by Isai Morales. Do you know
Isai Morales? Wasn't he in La Bamba?
Oh, was he?
A million years ago. Oh. I thought he was like Lou Diamond Phillips' best mate.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
I mean, he's been in many things since.
Yes. But okay, yeah, he was too. He was in, La Bamba back in 1987. And as you said, stacks of things since then. But
I just, that's what my enduring memory of him is, like, oh, he's the best mate from La Bamba. Yeah.
I just looked him up on Wikipedia, and there's a whole section on activism, and he is also a vegetarian.
Oh, so
good on Isai. But he was great.
Yeah, he was really good. I just thought, like, kind of charming and smooth and terrifying.
Yeah.
Like a really interesting casting choice.
Yeah. And, you know, makes it a bit personal for Ethan. Yeah. It's always better when it's a bit personal for Ethan. There is a scene at the airport really early on when they're trying to get these keys to set themselves up to be able to find out what's going on. And that's where we meet Hayley Atwell's character, Grace, for the first time. But before we get to that, there's a bomb that Benji has to be defused, and it's
ludicrous bomb of all time, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, it's great, and it's not defusing with wires or anything. He has to answer riddles and questions, and
some of them are personal.
Yes,
and it's like, you know, Facebook mining for data, basically.
Yes, yeah. If I found out that Meta was behind this whole thing, then I would not be surprised.
Zuckerberg is the big bad.
Yeah, it would be great. But then that was also a way for the AI to learn about them,
mm-hmm.
which I also found to be, you know, fun. Like, it was a fun scene. Peg's great in that scene.
Simon Pegg is hilarious.
Hayley Atwell's great.
Yeah.
She's, you know, for someone who... I think an underrated versatile actor, because she can play, prim and proper for English countryside kind of 18th century stories.
Yes.
And she's really good in the action in this as well.
She's a great action star.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we saw that back in Captain America.
Yeah, and Agent Carter and stuff like that. Yeah.
She's, you know who she's in a few of the Big Finish Doctor Who plays from way back when.
Oh, no, I didn't know
that. Yeah, she did a bunch of those, including like one of the... She's in a great one with Tom Baker and David Warner, which is just... And like being able to hold your own against Tom Baker and David Warner.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, okay, there is a proper actor.
Yeah.
Someone with gravitas.
Yeah. Yeah, she commands a scene.
Yeah.
It's full of good actors. this. They've been good actors all for the last few movies, but she really stands out in this. And you know, there's a part of you that if you think about it too much, you go, why does anyone give a shit about her? We've known her for 15 minutes,
yeah.
But because she's such a good actor, you just kind of buy into
it. Also, it's a really charming performance from the beginning. Like when you first meet her, it's like, oh, what is going on with her?
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like a fly in the ointment to begin with and then becomes, you know, integral to the entire thing.
Yeah.
Like if you didn't already know from publicity that she was a main part of it and her name was at the start of the film,
yeah,
you'd be like, oh, who is this annoying person that's ruining their plans?
Yeah, 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 yeah. There's a touch of Anne Hathaway's Selina Kyle
in
it as well, I think.
Yeah.
So early on, so I had an issue with one thing as a story choice, which I kind of understand, but now that I've been thinking about it, so first up, early on, we see Ilse Faust be brought back, and then it looks like she's murdered.
Yes.
And then it turns out that Ethan's used this as an opportunity for her to go off the radar.
Yeah, and disappear.
So then she turns up again.
Because there's a bounty on her head for like $50 billion ridiculous.
Which is great. And that action scene in the desert, which also reminds us of, you know, the dust storm in Abu Ghabi. That was all great. That was all fun.
And, you know, they had a cuddle with a horse, which was cute.
Oh, yeah. There's a scene where Tom spoons with a horse and, Tom and Michelle Monaghan, Tom and Rebecca Ferguson, Tom and the floppy disk, and the horse is coming in.
Oh, the horse is very, very close to the floppy disk.
It's getting close. Well, maybe Rebecca Ferguson's out. Maybe it's maybe it's Michelle Monaghan, the floppy disk, and the horse. But later on in the movie, she fights Gabriel, and she's murdered.
Yeah. I mean, it is said that AI has told Ethan that one of these two women will be killed.
Yeah.
Either Hayley Atwell or Rebecca Ferguson.
Yeah.
And I guess Hayley Atwell's not in June, so Rebecca had to go.
Right. But now I'm wondering, like, you already psyched us out once.
Yeah, I know, because you're like, well, maybe she's not really dead.
Right.
Like, if it's, yeah.
Because now they've got someone who's off the grid for the AI not to be able to plan for.
Yes.
So maybe that's going to be the plan.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, because I think it's a bummer to kill her off. And I think it's, I understand from a... She's making Silo. She's making Dune. She's going to make another Dune film. They've announced that it'll be a trilogy. But I just think her character is so good. I kind of don't understand why. Why isn't there a Mission Impossible universe?
Oh,
what about a movie that's like half the budget, but like a 95-minute Ilse, just like a stop-start, you know, kind of bam action film?
I feel like the plot explanation that's given to her death makes me think that she is off the table.
Right.
Because the storyline is that the AI wanted to kill one of them that Ethan would be so angry that he kills Gabriel.
Yeah.
And therefore doesn't know where the AI is hiding.
Yes. Because Gabriel's the only person who knows.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't know until he asks Cary Elwes.
Oh, yes.
Like, he has no idea.
Yeah.
It's like he's the only, like, and, you know, Ving Rhames, in a very sincere moment of exposition, tells us.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, you can't kill him, even though you want to, because he killed your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Because he's important and he'll know things. So, yeah, that's a whole... That made me think, if she has survived, then what was the point of that conversation?
Right.
So, I feel like...
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense for...
Unless they were saying it so the AI could listen.
Listen in via their mobile phones, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. That's how I'd just bring her back. I just think she's so good in this.
She's amazing. But then I feel like, you know, part of the bringing in of Hayley Atwell is, like, that was a moment, so I'm fast-tracking right to the end of the film here, but that moment where she makes the deal with Kittredge, I'm like, I smell an actual handing over of the franchise here.
Oh, really?
Well, it was just seemed like a weird kind of like, why are you now giving me an origin story for her?
Right.
As an agent.
Right.
And I know there's a whole other film to come in this movie.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, it felt like, you know, because Ilsa's like works for MI6. Like sometimes she's bad, sometimes we're good. We don't know what side she's on. But seeing, you know, Grace join the Impossible Mission Force, as they're called.
Yeah.
Is,
which got a big laugh in the audience. Yeah. Like, because it's so,
it's ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't know. That felt like a, like, if you were, if Tom was going to go, yeah, I'll take over the Kittredge role. And
you reckon?
And she can go and do all the jumping off things.
Do you reckon he's doing that?
I don't know.
Like,
I don't think he will, but
Did you think one of the running scenes where he kept going past poles were just lots of different bits edited together?
Or well, yeah, because every time he went past the pole, the camera got closer.
Yeah.
So, yes, it was.
Oh, right.
But he still would have had, like, he may not have been able to do one long sustained run.
But he's still doing it.
But he had to do, like, he probably had to do 30 of them instead.
Oh, yeah. That sounds about right. The car chase scene is one of the more hilarious,
in Rome.
Like, and hilarious in a good way.
Yeah,
it's really thrilling and really funny, especially when essentially Ethan doesn't want Grace to get away and handcuffs her, and then realizes he's sitting on the wrong side, she has to drive, and
she's already proved to be very bad.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
At that.
She's really bad. well, she's not him, you know, so...
She's bad at speed in tiny laneways in Rome.
And then the...
where there are a lot of scooters.
Where there's a lot of scooters. Mate, scooters cop a beating.
Scooter
in this
carnage
film.
In this film.
And there is also... there's a bit where they need an IMF car. Then he finds one.
Oh, yeah.
And when and you see this beautiful... What's it look like? A Lamborghini or something?
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
he presses the button and this little yellow Mini comes
it's
out.
It's a Fiat. It's so dumb.
And then the... there's this when he gets into the car and he can't quite get it to work properly, their whole dialogue is a young woman saying to an older man, it's all right that you can't get it up.
Yeah.
That's essentially what it is. It's innuendo city.
Yeah. It's like, it's fine.
And it's him making excuses. No, this doesn't normally happen. It takes me a while to kind of get going, you know. For a ridiculously sexless series of films, it's like...
It was a very funny scene.
It was really funny.
Also, just because it's like, yeah, I know it's smaller than you expected.
Yeah, yeah. All of it. It was pretty funny. Great to have Vanessa Kirby back as
so
Alana Mitsopoulos. She is... it says here... There you go. Sorry, just because I've got the Wikipedia in front of me.
Mm.
A black market arms dealer who goes by the alias White Widow. Alana is the daughter of Max, an arms dealer originally portrayed by Vanessa Redgrave from the first film.
There you go.
Good work. Good work, Adam.
We did our sums.
Yes. But she's so good as well. She's really funny in this, and it's
so
great. Hayley Atwell gets to play her at one point.
With her crazy masks. You can't have a Mission Impossible movie without some crazy masks.
Well, there's a double mask moment,
there's
isn't it?
Oh, The double mask moment right at the start.
It's great.
Before the credits.
Yes.
Like.
Oh, yeah. The movie feels like it's going for a solid hour and then the credits pop up. I'm exaggerating slightly, but it was like, oh, shit, this has happened.
It felt like about 30 to 40 minutes. Like, yeah. It was not.
It was in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's great and she's, once again, such a great character. I don't know how other people will feel, but I just don't really. Like, there's so many good characters. Mm. It doesn't feel tired. It feels like lots of. You want to kind of go back to a lot of these people. That's where, like, I'd kind of like a White Widow, you know, Ilsa movie, you know, and just do half the budget and just hit it hard.
Maybe the reason we enjoy these so much is because they don't.
Like maybe.
Because they do that with the Disney films. It's like, I don't care about this one.
Yeah, I guess. No, I'm pretty excited for the John Wick spin-off.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
But they haven't done one until now.
Yeah.
Like...
Oh, by the way, big shout out to nightclub fight scenes this year.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
To, you know, that we have that with Ethan and... and Shea Whigham is in
this.
Oh,
your favourite. You love Shea Whigham.
I do love Shea Whigham, and he's great.
Yeah.
And we had the fight in the John Wick film. We also get, just like Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, we get a train.
Oh,
fight as well.
And you know, there was a train fight in the first one.
There was indeed.
There were a lot of like ducking out of the way of signals.
Yep.
Hilariously. But I gotta say, that whole train sequence from like the minute they get on the Orient Express. to the crazy exploding bridge finale of that thing is like, it just becomes increasingly more insane as it goes along, and it's like, I'm buying all of it. I'm fine for it.
Yeah. So anyway, they get on the everyone's on the train except Ethan, who has to make a jump. But of course, Gabriel's one step ahead, and he's ruined. He's murdered the train drivers, and the train's going at, you know, an unstoppable speed.
Yes.
And then
and he's broken all the controls to make
broken all the controls, so you can't do anything about it. Benji's trying to coordinate Ethan on how to get on. He's on a motorbike and he's just going to jump on. And of course, we've seen it in the adverts.
Yeah.
And he gets taken to the top of a mountain where he's going to do his leap.
I feel like showing that scene early and for 10 minutes of the jumping, kind of, like, I felt like that was a deliberate choice because it adds such a crazy frisson to that moment.
Right.
Like, as he's riding, he's like, Benji, I just keep going up. When am I going to go down? But he's like, eventually. And you're like, oh, yeah, we know.
Yeah,
we've seen.
Yeah. You put it in the beginning credits.
Yeah. We've seen him jump off the cliff.
Yeah. Well, we've seen it in the last few movies. There's a touch of the old school kind of Bruce Willis action hero, the Harrison Ford action hero, where what I really love before he makes the jump is he's not sure how to do it, and he doesn't kind of want to do it.
Yeah.
And I love, once again, Benji just believes in Ethan and thinks he can do anything.
Yeah, you can do it. You're Ethan Hunt.
You'll be fine. Yeah. You just got to believe in yourself, mate.
Also, that moment where he's like, I'm really stressed here. It's like, I'm the one on top of the mountain.
Oh, yeah. Benji being stressed while he's sitting in the passenger seat of a car that's driving itself so he can be on the computer telling Ethan that he's stressed. When Ethan enters the train and he comes in like from the side, it is...
Because it's like, he's like, I don't know if I'm going to make the train. And then like, you're just getting all this action on the train, so you kind of...
forget.
Well, yeah, it's like, well, I know he's coming, but like, you know, and she's been waiting for him. Like, she's constantly like, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? And she's made her big choice to choose Ethan over everyone else and making billions of dollars in Bitcoin.
Yeah. So it's not really money. Let's be honest.
But the moment he comes just bursting through, like, I squealed with laughter.
Yeah,
I
thought it was really funny.
Because you're like, it's got to happen soon. He's got to, and then it's like at the perfect possible moment it happens. Yeah. And you're like, there he is.
You know, the other fight scene that I really enjoyed is the one in the small alley in the tight...
Yeah, that, the tiny little laneway.
Yeah.
With Pom Clementiev.
Yes, and that whoever other that guy. Other guy was.
Stunt actor 42.
Yeah. That was, you know, that was fun. And it also keeps Ethan out of the action for what happens with Grace and Ilsa dealing with Gabriel. So I have to be honest, the train scene, you know, it was fun and I was enjoying it. But basically they managed to unhook the, so Gabriel blows up the bridge that they're going towards. They managed to unhook from the front of the train.
Yes.
But then the momentum means the carriages are all kind of...
Still going.
So then one kind of topples, but they're in that carriage and they have to climb their way up. And there's, in that first one, it's the kitchen. So there's...
Oh my God, there's fat flying everywhere. Yeah, the gas leaks are happening.
And, you know, so it's slippery. And the two of them... fighting their way up, and then they get through that, and then the next carriage is about to go, and it's a little bit, once again, that it reminded me of John Wick 4 going up the stairs.
Yes, where you're just like, oh God, again?
Yeah.
You know what I did love about it? It felt like, it's almost like Macquarie's gone, you know what, I'm going to make a little miniature disaster movie for the last reel of this film.
Yeah.
For the last act. And it's like four different miniature versions of like the Poseidon Adventure or Titanic or something. It's like, oh, now it's sideways and we're falling. And it's like, oh, this is like, it's phenomenal. Like it is such a phenomenal set piece. Like, well, it's like a bunch of set pieces.
Yeah.
Like the bit with the piano.
Oh, the piano is extremely entertaining. And, you know, there's just been some nice stuff sort of set up earlier where, you know, they try to make Grace not believe in Ethan, that he always, you know, throws people aside and he's having to get her to try and believe in him.
Yeah.
And it's all coordinated quite choreographed quite beautifully. And once again, Hayley Atwell in all these action scenes is...
She's so great.
She's great.
Yeah.
Just really great. Is there anything that we've missed that's worthwhile mentioning?
So we had the sand fight. Then we had the, you know, the weird double mask scene.
Oh, the double mask scene. It's also like the first mask that he's wearing. I'm like, why has he gone as Laura Palmer's father?
Ray Wise.
Yeah.
It did look a bit like him.
It's like young Ray Wise, you know. And then, you know, then getting back together with the team in the airport, you know.
Oh, the airport scene is kind of fun. Like
it's really good. It's the bit where, because the CIA are after Ethan and they're on their computers, they're Benji's making everyone look like Ethan.
Yeah. And you know, another thing that is a massive callback to the first movie and your favorite moment with the floppy disk is all the sleight of hand.
Oh, so
much sleight of hand, so much pickpocketing, so much like, oh no, I've had that all along.
Right, some of the sleight of hand was borderline. What is?
I expected someone to come out with giant shoes on, and then like when they're in that miniature car, I thought eight other people with giant shoes are going to get out of the car with them.
So some of Ethan's sleight of hand was, mate, this is not a 4-year-old's. Birthday party. What is happening here? It was mildly,
it's berserk.
Mildly camp. All yeah, of it. Yeah, it, which is funny.
But yeah, because she is, you know, a pickpocket.
Yeah, like
that's how they meet Hayley Atwell's character Grace. But yeah, and he's just like, oh yeah, I can do that too.
Yeah,
and then it just becomes like an ongoing thing. And it all I could think of was that hilarious floppy disk moment.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. I'm mad for it. You know, the nightclub scene, and then that leads into the, you know, into the fights that are going on, and the AI and sending Ethan in the wrong directions.
Venice laneway fights.
Yeah. And then, God, the car scene, the car chase is...
All throughout Rome is insane.
It's great.
Yeah.
And
even the bit where he comes to claim to be her lawyer.
Oh, yes.
That is a fun moment.
That's funny. In the
when they're like, oh, your lawyer's here. And she's like, lawyer?
Lawyer.
And then you're like, it's going to be Ethan.
It's Ethan. It's naughty Ethan pretending to be something else that he isn't. I wonder how long that train scene goes for. That must go for like 45 really minutes time. Or something.
Yeah, maybe an hour. Like
it feels like that's like a third of the film.
Yeah. Because it's like there's a lot of exposition on the train.
Yeah.
There's the finding out that Cary Elwes is on the train, that he's just the head of the security agency. Did he have a name?
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? It's so hard to keep up with because there's so much stuff that's talked about that's not real.
Yeah.
Other stuff, kind of slips in. And it's like, anyway.
But yeah, then there's Kittredge on the train. There's the whole deal where Hayley Atwell's pretending to be Vanessa Kirby. So that's a whole thing. Then there's Vanessa Kirby waking up and being a bit woozy.
Yeah.
That's a whole thing.
Yeah. Vanessa Kirby getting to be Hayley Atwell's great.
Yeah.
if you got to change your face and be someone, who would you be?
Who would I be?
Yeah, who would I? Like, because like Hayley Atwell getting to be Vanessa Kirby, I've got to be honest, I thought was a bit hot.
It was kind of sexception.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I've spent so long learning to be happy in my own skin, I don't know who I would want to dress up as.
Oh, what a positive comment.
I know, I'm a pain in the ass when it comes to that kind of shit.
I think I'd like to be Ryan Gosling for no other reason than he always looks bemused, and I'd like to be bemused all the time.
Yes. I suspect a lot of that is, I've seen him on talk shows talking about his wife, and it just sounds like they have the most delightful marriage.
Yeah.
Like Ava Mendes sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Like, and I think the bemusedness is like, yeah, everything's fine at home.
I'm everything's good. Everything's rock solid for me.
I do think that's one of my favorite casting choices in a long time is him doing the Fall Guy.
Oh, yes. I keep forgetting that.
It's one of those things you go, oh, yeah, because like it was always just like a kind of like over, oh, yeah, I'm just over everything.
Yeah.
Like, that was the whole thing. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm just a stunt guy. I'm just, it doesn't matter. Like, whatever.
Yeah, perfect. I'd forgotten that's coming out. What are you going to give this in jaw flexes? It's hard to tell because we've just seen it and it kind of needs to settle.
Yeah. Well, look, just immediate reaction. I enjoyed this as much as I did Fallout. So I think it has to be a straight 5 jaw flexes for me.
Yeah, right. I might be a little bit conservative. I might give it a 4. But that's not bad. Fallout was... Like, I've seen it a couple of times now, so I'll need to see this again. We've got the adrenaline, so I'm going to give it a 4 so I can, maybe nudge it up a little bit.
Look, if it was only the train film, I still would have given it a 5.
The train is spectacular. It's so spectacular. It's so good. We may as well tell everyone what we're going to do now.
Yeah,
go
on.
So, the next one's not coming out until...
No, next year.
So what we thought we'd do is, like, normally, for these Mission Impossible episodes, we kind of break it down and we do lots of stuff with it. But, you kind of can't do it because we've just come out of the cinema.
Yeah.
So what we'll do is we'll go back to Mission Impossible and do this film next year.
Yes.
But in the lead up, we're going to be doing a series called... Cruising Back to the Past, and we're going to watch all of Tom Cruise's movies backwards. We're going to go backwards through time to his first film, which means, more importantly, at one point we are going to cover the 2 Jack Reacher movies.
And in reverse order.
In reverse order. Or do we, if there's a two-parter, do we watch 1, 2?
Like, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, although, do you want to do that with Maverick, though? I feel like there's better miles apart from each other.
The Jack Reacher rounds are closer together. So we may as well do them 1, 2.
Jack Reacher round, closer together.
Closer together. Jack Reacher round, closer together. Oh, man. Just, anyway, it'll be fun.
It'll be lunatic.
Because there's quite a few films that are under the radar, good, like Oblivion. That'll be a fun one to discuss. There's legitimately good films that are like Edge of Tomorrow, which kind of suffered from having, I think to this day, a shit title. Like, it's just...
A terrible title, but also that was like, it was right in the middle of Tom on the Nose period.
Yeah.
Like, it was post... him shanghaiing the Batman Begins publicity train to jump on couches.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's funny, maybe this, like...
We're going to get to see his on-screen chemistry with his off-screen wife.
It's great.
On more than one occasion.
Yes.
Because there's that car one. I don't think I've ever seen the car one.
I haven't seen that either.
That was a Bruckheimer... Like, yes. It was meant to be just...
Days of Thunder.
Yeah, it was Top Gun in cars.
In cars.
It? Yeah.
Well, it's the Rich Hall routine.
Yes!
Yeah. We'll also get to go into his chemistry in the Kubrick film, Eyes Wide Shut. And then there'll be some moments of genuine... I've got some firm views on thinking he's overrated in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
But that's great.
Well, we've got many Tom Cruises to get through. Oh my God, I just realized I'm going to watch Interview with a Vampire again. And I kind of swore off that because I really enjoyed that TV show.
Oh no, Far From Heaven. We got to watch. Far and Away?
Far and Away. Far From Heaven is a very good film with Julianne Moore.
That's right. It is too. Far and Away is Far and Away, not Far From Heaven.
No, Far and Away. That's right. That one. Was that the one where they met?
Yeah, I think it may have been. Oh. Anyway, maybe we've bitten off too much that we can chew. But anyway, that might just be a shorter episode.
Do we have to watch Moulin Rouge?
Is he in that?
No.
Oh.
That's what was...
For a moment, I was like, have I completely blanked that film out of my memory? Was Tom Cruise in that?
No, it was just, you know, it was one of hers when they were together. Like, do we have to watch all of her movies when they were married? Married for 10 years.
No, we don't. You know what? Some of these movies are going to be hard enough. We don't have to endure some of these others that we don't need. But look, if you're thinking of going to this film or waiting for it to come on to streaming, go and see it at the cinema.
We've spoiled it for you. Like, just go now.
Just
go. How much fun it is.
It's heaps of fun. We haven't given away everything. We've given away most things.
We've given away everything.
We've given away everything. Anyway.
But it's an experience. It's a fun experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of laughing. It's a lot of...
I squealed several times.
Yeah, you really did. I think you squealed with each carriage that broke off.
I did. Every time one of the carriages were like, oh!
And if you go to the cinema now, you might even get the Gran Turismo...
Trailer
as well.
Oh, that's fun. That looks like a fun movie. I don't know why.
Well, it's The Last Starfighter. It's crossed with Creed. That's what it looks like, doesn't it? And a lot of actually good actors saying delivering dumb lines really well.
Yeah.
He plays video games. How can he possibly drive a real car?
Yeah. I don't know, mate. He's having a crack.
I'd also recommend everyone see Indiana Jones. That's a fun film,
that
too.
That is a delight.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of fun films.
He rides a horse on a subway. Like, what? How can it be bad?
Yeah, I know. I think film criticism is dead.
Yeah.
You know, I think people don't watch things in context, and you should watch it in the context of the world and the way the movie's being presented. And,
yeah.
You know.
I feel like critically we've reached some sort of weird adolescence.
Yeah.
Where everything, you know, when you're that age, everything is either shit or amazing.
Mm.
And I feel like that's the kind of critical juncture we're at.
Yes.
Oh my God, I saw the funniest like meme today, which was some like girl helping her ancient grandmother who's on a walker. It just said, Snyder fans 2092. And the old woman's like, they'll resurrect the Snyderverse. Netflix is going to buy it.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Just great.
And I'm just like, what is this?
Oh, man. The Snyderverse. Are you going to watch Rebel Moon?
No. I walked into the lounge room when the zombie one was on.
Yeah.
And was like, why do some of the zombies robots? And Gary's like, I don't know. That's not been explained. And it never was.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I don't think I need to put myself in that position.
Yeah. I might give it a go.
Yeah, look, if it's on, it's on. But I'm not.
Maybe that'll be a podcast for Ben because he likes to self-flagellate. And
are you trying to talk me into watching it? So that, because that's a part one and two as well.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can. No, you know what? We've already bitten off more than we can chew with Cruise. We're gonna have to watch Rock of Ages.
Oh my God, we are the musical.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Stop. I thought he'd only made like 12 movies in his career.
Mate, he's made... Like, that's all he does. All he does is make and watch films.
I know.
And pray to Xenu. And photosynthesize from the glare of the cinema screen.
What if we end up in Scientology at the end of this?
Well, could be good for our careers.
It could be.
Yeah. And,
it's
you
done
know.
No harm to many people.
Like, none whatsoever. Might get to meet John Travolta.
Yes.
That'd be great.
Or David Miscavige's wife. You never know.
Yeah. We might find where she is, finally. Anyway, look forward to that, and I will leave it there. Thanks to Adam for joining me on this podcast and also for this whole series. I look forward to some of the movies, most of the movies we're going to cover in our new series, Cruising Back in Time. Like, there's some movies I'm actually really looking forward to, and there's some that I reckon will be a little bit of hard work. But anyway, what are you going to do? It's great. Let's be honest. There'll be more Xenu comments. There'll be more Jack Reach Around jokes. So it's all happening. Next week, I'll be back with author Garth Jones as we present a brand new Pass the Amel episode. And we are watching the film The Rover. If you haven't seen it and you want to get a head start, you've got about a week to get that under your belt. If you're enjoying the work my friends and I are doing here, please leave a top review at Apple Podcasts. Great reviews help people find us, and that's fantastic for the podcast. So please, a top review's fantastic. Even word of mouth is a really great way to get the show out there amongst the glut of shows that exist. Patreon subscribers, just a little heads up, make sure you check your feed, because part three of the Three Colors Hamo trilogy is now available, so Hamilton and His Sisters awaits you. If you're not signed up for the Patreon and would like to access the Three Colors Hamo trilogy and lots of other bonus podcasts and more, head to patreon.com/Justin Hamilton and you'll find a tier that suits you. I have some exciting news to share as well, but that will have to wait until next week and all the paperwork is signed off on. Something's come up and it's all good. And I've got my first overseas trip since COVID. That's about to happen, and quite quickly as well. So, I don't know. I'll tell you more about it once it's all, you know, contracts have been given and I've signed off and it's official, but it's close to being official. So I'll tell you about that next week. Everything is happening. Okay. I hope you're well. I hope the year is treating you well. I hope you're having a good time with your family and friends. And until then.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince.
Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.